CliffCentral.com.
Can I, because I'm very excited that he's here this morning, I want to start straight off. One of South Africa's media superstars. He has been in the business for a number of years. He was born in Botswana, but he's done everything in radio that he's ever wanted to do and more. He has also been my colleague for some time, too. We both started at 5FM at around about the same time. He has 1.1 million Twitter followers. He recently had some back surgery because he's one of the most active people in the universe. I don't know when he sleeps. I don't know how he manages to squeeze everything in, but he is here this morning, credited with pioneering the house music scene with just the most amazing music of his own and being the guy who puts it out there for other people. He is DJ Fresh, and he's going to be our guest in the next couple of minutes. I'm very, very excited to have him in. That's DJ Fresh. He's on the way. Where is he? Can you bring him in here? What's the story?
Well, he's on his way.
Oh, what, has he gone to the loo?
Yes.
Oh.
So, let's just count to while he pees.
Let's just count.
I will. Let me switch on the microphones in the bathroom so that you can hear what's going on in there. You didn't know we had bathroom microphones? You look surprised.
Will this be a live stream? Get it? Stream.
Do you have them in the women's bathroom as well?
There he is. No, we don't have them in the women's bathroom.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see what's going on there. He can't hear us, but we can hear him.
Oh.
That's one hell of a strong stream he's got going on there.
He must have been busting coming up those stairs.
Sure. Well, there he is. I mean, he's a healthy guy. Clearly, he's got good kidneys.
Okay, let's listen to the tap so you know where he washes his hands.
Let's see. Well, I hope he washes his hands.
It's awkwardly long. There,
there he is. All right. He's washing his hands. There he is.
I hope there's a fresh towel in there for him.
I hope so too. Here he is, DJ Fresh, everybody. Oh man, how good to hello, dude. What's that? Yeah, we were just commenting. We had the microphone in the bathroom on, so we could hear you taking a pee and everything.
And you washed your hands.
And well done for washing your hands afterwards. We were worried you might not do that. How are you, dude?
I wasn't washing my hands.
Wow, it's good to see you.
I apologize for being 30 minutes early. I work in radio, so
I love it.
It's a bad habit.
I'm sorry that on a day off we had to wake you up.
In fact, when my office said, listen, Cliff Central said, can you come hang out? I was like, flip, Friday's the only day I have left this year I can do this. And I've always wanted to...
Thank you, man.
Well, I miss you. That's what it is.
I miss you, too. But we're going to be on your show, your TV show with Euphonic, I think sometime later this month anyway.
Club Culture is, if not this Friday, I think next week.
I think it's next week Friday.
It is next week. Mm-hmm. And yours is the only show we didn't ask for permission to have you on. Because the way it works, we're supposed to submit a list.
Oh, yeah?
And then they approve them.
Oh, yeah?
And we don't know the levels of beef, if there's beef at all. So we're like, fuck it. We're going to have him on the show and then send the tape and say, this is our next guest. And they're happy with it.
Dude, what I really appreciate, I just want to thank you. Because from a personal point of view, we've been working together for a very long time.
Oh, yes, indeed.
We both had designs on turning 5FM into something that it wasn't at the time we joined.
Yes, yeah.
I think we largely achieved that during the time we were both together. You continue to achieve things there.
In fact, I think with you on breakfast and me on the afternoon drive, we had more listeners for the station than the station has ever had in its history.
That's true.
So I think we achieved what we went there to do.
We don't want to sound like we're boasting, but yes.
No, no, we're not boasting. It's just, you know, numbers don't lie. But also what I love, though, is the fact that we never asked for our numbers. We just wanted to make radio.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of kids... You know, always want to brag about the size of your balls, but your nuts don't go in there, so what's the point?
Yeah, and we also, just by the way, for the record, have enormous penises, so...
Oh, because, you know, we were all thinking that and just wondering.
Fresh, I just also want to thank you for one other thing.
Yes, sir.
This week, you were one of the people who wanted to engage with me about this whole controversy, and there are very few people who are brave enough to talk about anything at the moment because everybody's nervous about getting into trouble. Whether you're an angry black person on Twitter and that's a problem, or whether you're a white person who's being blatantly racist, or even someone who's just trying to make a joke and is worried about getting into trouble. I mean, you can't talk about pantypreneurs, apparently. So there's a lot of fear at the moment, and I just wanted to say thank you because you really are a friend, and I know that we will disagree and we will agree, but you're happy to engage all the time.
And I think people don't understand that because we've worked together or not doesn't mean we can't disagree.
Sure.
I mean, even for instance with the Manto Chabalalam Simang thing, I mean, I disagreed with you, but I wasn't angry about it.
No.
Then there's no need to be angry because you disagree. There's no need to name call because you disagree. And a lot of people, you know, resort to name calling as opposed to let me make you see how I see it. Because for me, that's how you move anything forward. You know,
that's respect, and I do respect you. I mean, hearing your side of the story makes me think twice about something.
I'm glad.
Yeah, so thank you. I just wanted to get that in there before we even started talking. Do you remember the first time we went on television together with Fat Joe?
Oh, flip.
Do you remember that? Because someone brought it up the other day. Someone, because I'd completely forgotten, but the first time we went on TV together, we tied up Fat Joe on his own show.
Yes.
He didn't even know it was going to happen.
Yes, we tied him up
and took over the show.
I remember being on your show more than I remember being on Fat Joe's show on 702 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I remember. I think it was 2000, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
Jeez. And you were at YFM then. I was at 702. And
yeah.
We both doing
I don't know what the hell you were
stuff.
Doing there, but yeah.
I know. I didn't know what I was doing there either. What I love is that you've always looked at radio and you've said, wherever they're prepared to give me a place to do what I do,
yeah,
and they're prepared to pay me what I'm worth, I'm coming.
I tell people that all the time. I mean, I remember when I decided I'm leaving Y for 5, mm-hmm. and people are like, oh my God, why are you going to 5? Are you going to manage? I'm like,
because 5 was a white, it was perceived as a white kind of rockish.
Exactly.
Kind of, you know, that was the kind of environment. And people going, what the hell's Fresh doing making this move?
And you know, I tell people all the time, I do radio, and the kind of radio I do will never change. Whether I'm at Classic FM, at Okozi, once my Zulu gets to that level, because I don't want to upset the king. you know, so for me, radio is radio is radio. The format is just, you know, just occupational hazard, I suppose. But for me, radio is radio is radio. I love radio. And that's one of my pet peeves, is how a lot of radio stations lately are just throwing TV stars on the radio and thinking I've done my job as a programmer.
I watched that My Story episode about you. And there was stuff I knew about you, and there was stuff I didn't know about you. And they interviewed your parents, which was amazing, because, I mean, I haven't seen them before. And I don't think they've been interviewed
on TV. In fact, a lot of people thought I just morphed into...
You're like an immaculate conception. You just popped into the world.
Yeah, I just showed up, you know.
But you, I mean, look, there are a couple of people in the South African scene who really can do amazing things. And you're now the kind of guy who's enabling other talented young people to get ahead.
Yes, sir.
You've always been very involved in education. Mm. These are things you care about. But it's kind of nice. It was nice to see your origins and where the whole radio bug bit.
In fact, I was telling Onati when we were doing the show that, you know, doing a show like that actually pretty much digs into your past because they're interviewing you. Mm. But it also opens up old wounds.
Yeah.
Because you're reliving a lot of the emotions you felt. So, for instance, I relived the fights I had with my old man because I wanted to do radio. He wanted me to be a lawyer.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So, it literally, you relive your life when you shoot a show like that. And, you know, I was grateful for that. But, you know, part of me was sad at the end of it that, you know, did I really have to go through that entire schlep to get to radio? You know, I'm not mad about old man, not anymore. You know, but, you know.
I'm sure he's kind of happy with what's happened.
No, listen.
I'm sure he's a little bit proud.
Listen, yeah. He's
my biggest fan, and he's apologized for not getting it. And, you know, in 1992, 93, you know, I don't think many black parents got it, that my child wants to play records for a living.
Hmm.
So I kind of understand where he comes from. I just wish he had a bit more faith in me, even as an 18, 19-year-old.
It is great to see that the house music scene, which is something that you really championed from the beginning, is still worldwide. This is probably one of the homes, one of the nexuses of that kind of music. And you go all over the world doing what you do. You're like an ambassador for music, for house music, for South Africa, wherever you go. Are you still doing as much traveling? Because I look at your schedule and I don't know how you manage, dude.
I'm actually hoping to do a bit more international travel this year. I'm hoping to.
Mm. It's hard, though, when you've got a morning show.
I was saying to people who don't understand the sacrifices that come with doing a radio show. So, for instance, I do Miami every March.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Black Coffee's playing Coachella in April.
Yeah.
I want to do Coachella to go support Black Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But to say to 5FM, I need a week off in March,
and
I need
April.
A week off in April, and then I'm hoping to do Ultra Croatia in July, and I need another week off there. It starts adding up.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously radio management are trying to build a show. So, you know this. So radio gets in the way of many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you're tied down to a relationship, and then you want to have another relationship.
In fact, my marriage of 13 years is easier than a radio show, actually.
Yeah, right. But you're also married to a powerful, independent woman who's really got an amazing career of her own, which helps.
It does
she
help.
She understands
in fact,
where
that,
you come from.
That's why I think we got married as quickly as we did, because we understood one another immediately. And yep. I was like, oh, flip, all right, finally.
And Taviso's also, she's got these roles that she juggles, like mother, like
yes, businesswoman. Mother, she owns a swimming school.
Right.
She's on Power FM.
Right.
She has to, you know, she has to put up with my bullshit.
Sure.
So that in itself is a full-time job.
There's a gold badge for her.
Yes.
And listen, being a dad and managing that part of your life too, because, you know, having kids is as hard as it could be. And that's why I don't have them, because I just think it's too much work.
In fact, for instance, this is my week off with the kids. Uh-huh. So whatever they want goes.
Oh.
This is also the week where most DJs are free. So all my boys are going out. The other day, friends of mine at a party. I think they were at a strip club last night.
And you can't.
I can't do any of that. I can't do any of that because the whole year you live with the guilt of you can't spend as much time as you'd like to with your kids. And I carry that guilt, like, badly.
Yeah.
So you know, this is their week. Whatever they want to do goes. So yeah, man.
I'm amazed also in your career how you've done a lot of reinvention. We all have to, right? Everybody who's in any business, if you keep doing the same thing for too long,
yes,
it just proves you either don't have vision or you've run out of ideas or that you are complacent, which
yes.
is the worst thing to be.
Listen, I think reinventing yourself, repositioning yourself, being able to understand that the people are listening to you are evolving all the time and you need to keep up with that evolution. I think the minute you get that, then the longer you're able to last in this industry. I mean, how many kids, you know, get into the industry and they fizzle out? Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that my favorite radio guys is still you and Fat Joe, 17 years later, says to me, radio is not growing. And that's a problem for me.
Isn't it interesting, too? There are two things about us that I want to address. The first one is, do you also get asked by people, because this happens to me all the time,
yeah.
whenever I'm on my own in a shop or I'm at the petrol station filling up or something, they go, huh, where's DJ Fresh? Like, we travel with each other.
Like, you guys hang out every second.
No,
every
like,
day.
We live together.
In fact, one standing joke on Twitter that, you know, a lot of people still laugh at is the fact that I once said to a girl, there's no SABC commune, we don't live together. I did Studio Mix with Bob Mabena in 1999 and 2000.
Uh-huh.
To this day,
people still ask you, where's Bob?
You still have an auntie say, so how is it working with Bob? 1999, 2000, brah.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about is that for some reason people think that in radio, if
yeah.
you and I work at the same time on two different channels, that we somehow can't get along. That there isn't a way of healthy competition,
yeah.
which is always good.
But you know what, though? People, I think, almost at a small-minded level, love beef.
Yeah.
People like to know that their lives are a little bit better because your life can't be good because you're fighting with people.
Mm.
You're fighting with people you work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your life can't be that exciting. So I think people love beef. I think it's, what do they call it, the soap opera effect?
Mm.
If your life is shitty, mine can't be that bad.
That's why people like watching those soap operas, and that's why people like gossip.
Yes.
And you've also had to put up with a lot of that.
You know what, I've dealt with a lot of gossip. I've dealt with things about me that I didn't know existed. I think I have about four kids I'm not aware of now.
Oh, you got
you
four.
Too, hey?
I had at least two that I knew of, and plus yes. I had a lover in the Northwest Province somewhere.
Yeah. Are you for real?
Oh, yeah. Yes. She was a black woman who said that she and I had been having an affair.
Remember
that?
Yes.
Fantastic story.
So I'm hoping these four kids will get in touch at least by the time they're 21.
Well, Father's Day's coming up. Let's hold thumb. all right, now. I mean, people talk about beef and stuff. So,
yes.
So this week has been such a fractious week for this country. Were you off this week? You didn't do your shows?
Yes, I'm on holiday all of this right. week. I've also been trying to stay off social media.
Right, I should have done that.
And social media has been grabbing me by the scruff of the neck and pulling me back in. And it's been a tense week. But at the same time, I think a lot of things that a lot of people maybe have been afraid of saying or afraid to say, you know, people have been saying those. And, you know, some unfortunate, but I'd rather we're honest with one another about how we feel about one another than we continue living under this fake rainbow.
Yeah, I agree. It's just difficult sometimes to say that without sounding like you're condoning people saying really shitty
things. Yes.
You know, that's the problem. And I think I made a misstep there.
Yes.
I mean, do you want to say what you thought of that so that I can perhaps learn something from it.
No, for me, you know, listen, I'm one of the, you know, greatest champions of, you know, freedom of speech. But, you know, unlike the US where hate speech is not an offense, I think, you know, we still have a long way to go. A lot of people are still looking for loved ones, you know, to put it as blatantly as that. You know, there's still a lot of wounds that are not healed. So I think we need to be careful how flippant we become. You know, when expressing exactly how it is we feel.
I just want to take a call here quickly. We've got Peace on the line. Hey, Peace, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Who am I speaking to?
Gareth. Yeah, what do you want?
Gareth.
Good morning.
I'm doing.
Yes.
I'm on the sound radio, so you might, I might...
All right, go ahead, Peace. Calm down. Take a big, deep breath. go ahead. Do you want to talk to Fresh?
I want to speak to both of you.
All right.
Okay. I listened to you guys saying, like, you should have stayed off radio, you should have stayed off everything this week, but I disagree with you both. I think you both rock, and I think you're both amazing people, and I love that you both mates. And I've had this in my mind about the last week or two, about all the hatred between everyone in this country. And I contacted an American company, and they're prepared to help me, and they've done an overlay for your Facebook profile picture with the hashtag, we all stand together, and the South African flag in the bottom corner. And I was really lucky for you and Grace to take a photo of yourself and put it on the hashtag overlay and spread that word.
Are you crying?
Really, really important.
Are you crying?
I am.
Wow, you're very emotional. I mean,
I'm sorry.
No, I think a lot of people are this week. You don't have to feel bad.
I've just been trying to get my word out there. I've been speaking to Brenton deep privately, and I've been speaking to other people, but nobody is prepared to push it forward. If a link is ready to go, all you need to do is take the photograph and put it on the overlay and get it out there.
All right, hold on for us. We'll take down some details, but I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Is your name really Peace?
No, my name is not Peace, but I want Peace.
Ah, all right. Makes sense.
All right, honey. Well, listen, take a big, deep
Can
breath.
Can I give you the overlay, Gareth?
Send it to me. I'll have a look. I'm not promising anything. I'll have a look.
I promise I'll send it to you right now. How do I send it to you?
Just gareth@cliffcentral.com.
Okay, awesome. I'll send you now. Cheers,
all right,
Gareth.
All right. Bye. Everybody's feeling a little bit emotional this week.
But like you were saying, I mean, I was listening driving into work. Sorry, bad habit. And
you can have work here if you want, by the way.
Flip, all right.
Anytime you want.
Well, what time?
You just figure out when it fits into your crazy schedule.
All right, cool. I have my lawyer in the car. I happen to have my lawyer in the car.
Oh, so travel with your lawyer. My lawyer's sitting outside, Dalimpofu. We can have a quick chat.
In fact, driving here, I'm like, why would you want to have me and Dalion at the same time? You know, he's an advocate. I dropped out of law school. Like, what's going on here?
Well, you guys probably have a lot more in common than most people, because you both don't mind saying what you think. You don't mind occasionally being unpopular.
Yes.
But one thing I can say for Dalimpofu is, in the last year and a half, I mean, I always knew that he was someone who was a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Politically, someone who's a great legal mind, someone who's got a social conscience like very few people.
And he was our boss.
He was our boss, but I also found out that his kids are all hugely successful.
Mm.
And very recently, I've been moved by what's happened in the the whole Marikana situation and the ability that he's had to bring compassion and and thought and media attention and really get the whole of South Africa to understand what these people went through. And that's commendable.
And continue to go through. I don't think people understand the dump that Marikana is generally. You know, people are living in conditions that you wouldn't want to wish on your worst enemy. You know, things are still not right in that area.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're digging up billions of rands and dollars of platinum out of the ground, and people are living in squalor. That, for me, doesn't make sense.
I wanted to know also what you what you're feeling for 2016, because I think a lot of people, this is a bad way to start the year.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. What can we do? What's done is done. But now we've got to look for things to get us positive, to get things going. I mean, have you got some exciting stuff lined up that we can get excited with?
Every year I do about a million rand of bursaries. We will be doing the DJ Fresh Foundation bursary giveaway, I think, in 2 weeks.
Nice.
So if you're looking, you know, for an opportunity, just watch the space.
Tell us how that works. I mean, if people wanted to get a bursary from you guys, or if they're just interested in how your experience in education has helped you along. And
this started about 17 years ago, working at YFM. So every time I'd get to work from afternoon drive show, there's always a kid who's got, you know, great matric results, but no way forward. And, you know, because I'd attended college at Boston Media House, I said to them, listen, give me 3 bursaries. You know, I've got some kids who need bursaries. They've got great results. And they gave me 3 bursaries. And fast forward 17 years, we've done about 1,500 bursaries since. So, you know, for me, it's, you know, even if you're helping one person and they're paying it forward. So, for instance, the kids that we gave our first ever bursaries to, they've started their own bursary program to give back.
Wow.
Because they're getting paid now.
And the more it grows, the more it grows. It's kind of one of those things that's exponential.
And that's, in fact, I remember the one girl that I gave a bursary to, and, you know, she was in tears asking, so what can I do to pay you back? I was like, I don't want anything back from you. Just don't fuck it up.
Wise words.
And sadly, there's also those kids that squander the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I always say there's...
Well, there's going to be.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly. I always say there's 3 kids out there. You know, there's a kid that'll take the ball and run with it. There's a kid who'll drop the ball, and there's a kid who doesn't even know the ball exists, but they're on the field. So you've had kids who've squandered the opportunity, and, you know, for me, it breaks my heart, but it's not going to stop me from trying to help as many people as I possibly can.
But why is it that you care so much about education? Why is it is that your focus, where you can make a difference?
Because I understand the difference it can make in your life. I'll give you another example. There was a mama, because what we do is mid-year, we do even more bursaries, but we target people that are at work. Because for a lot of people at work, the difference between getting your promotion or a raise is going back to school.
Yeah.
And there was a tea lady at a company that wanted to do a basic computing course. I mean, this is something you take for granted. It's basic computing. But she did a basic computing course, and as a result of that, they moved her, you know, to be an assistant to one of the clerks. So she went from making tea, probably earning shit, to, you know, an office position that enabled her to earn just a little bit more. And for me, it's when you change little things like that, that you're able to change people's lives in a manner that you'll never be able to even comprehend yourself. And those are the things we take for granted. I mean, nobody taught me how to use a computer.
Hmm.
I mean,
I
bullshat my way through Words and Excel.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, it's another world. But if that I can use a computer, there's a difference between earning an extra 1,000 rand or not. I'm willing to be that guy that holds your hand through it. So for me, It's if I can change someone's life, you know, whether significantly or not, then, you know, my job on the planet is done.
Now, you worked. I saw you the other night. We both did a gig together.
Yes.
And it was the first time I'd seen you in a while. But you were working, even though you'd basically been through back surgery that very week.
Yes, I had a...
What's wrong with you? Don't you... Can't you say no?
You know what it
can't
was?
Can't you rest?
I'd cancelled a week of gigs already.
Yeah.
And half the clients were spewing fire because of that. And I figured, listen, I'll hobble through the rest of them. And that's what I did.
I mean, you came in, and I could tell you were in huge pain.
Oh, you have no idea.
So what happened? Is it? Did you have a back problem to start off with? Is it because
it's wear? It's wear and tear. You know, probably bad gym posture when I was younger.
And never sleeping.
That doesn't help either. a pump or two doesn't always work out either. You'll put your back out.
Wow, you're pretty vigorous if you're putting your back out doing that, man. That's something else.
If you're not putting your back out, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Jesus. Who are your celebrity friends? Who are the people you hang around with? Because I imagine you have quite a scene when you do eventually get time off and you say, I feel like giving myself a birthday party or something. Who do you invite that we would know?
To tell you the honest truth, I don't make friends easily. In fact, I remember reading somewhere that in your lifetime, you can only ever really have 5 friends at a time. And more often than not, 3 of them are friends from childhood.
Yeah.
And... You know, guys that if we're going to hang out, I'd hang out with, you know, it's your Euphonics.
Mm-hmm. You guys are really, in real life, you're tight. Because a lot of people imagine that also.
Yeah, we talk a lot. We advise one another. And it's not always easy telling someone who's a go-getter that you're fucking up now. You know, calm the fuck down.
Really? You're that honest with each other?
We have to be.
Yeah.
And
well, you've got business together.
If my friend does not tell me I'm fucking up, then you're not my friend.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. Don't.
Who else can you trust for real solid advice? Your wife?
Probably my old man, my wife and my kids. I kid you not, my daughter, she's 6, 7, and her perspective is insane. So I'll try and break down a scenario for her in a way that she'd understand. Mm. And she's given me some of the best advice ever.
Really?
And a lot of it is just, what would you do in a situation like this? And I think, you know, don't underestimate how kids see the world. And I think maybe we need to let kids run the world just for a year. And there'd be a bit more equity and fairness, maybe.
And even honesty.
And honesty. And like I said, I mean, she blows my mind all the time.
With you being who you are, though, you probably have a lot of people who think that they are friends with you because they really want to be your friend.
Yeah.
That whole association thing. How do you handle those people?
You almost... Because I'm not one to try and blow you out of the water because you might have these delusions about our relationship. But, you know, if someone wants to shine for whatever reason, just allow them. But I don't hang out. So you won't see me with this person that says we are friends because I don't hang out. I'd rather be at home with the kids because I've got a little man cave. So it's literally like an old school arcade.
Describe this to me. What's in there?
I've got like 10,000 records. So I've turned my wall... I've turned my wall into like a vinyl storage thing. So I've got my turntables there.
Vinyl shrine.
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
So it's like there's like a DJ box.
Yeah.
There's like one corner is like a gym section.
Uh-huh.
There's like an arcade section with
this
like,
must be a big room to have all of this.
It's a huge room. It's about the size of your green room. That room that on
really
side.
That's big.
Yes.
Sure.
I live on a little farm, so the rooms are big, and. For me, that's where I'd rather hang out. I'd rather be with my daughter saying to her, Pac-Man is not that old school. You don't get it. So the other day, I mean, I was playing Street Fighter with her.
Oh, yeah?
And she was like, why do they look so funny? I was like, it's just pixels, my baby.
Just keep pressing. 1980s gaming.
It was a different time, different quality.
And for me, that's the best time to spend with my kids.
Isn't it cool that we can... Because we complain about social media a lot of the time. We complain about how, you know, there's a responsibility now. And now more than ever, people have to be extremely cautious about not only what they put on social media, but what they really think.
Yes.
Because you can think horrible things, not put them on social media, and still be a horrible person.
Yes.
But if you are going to go on social media, if you're ordinary old nobody who's got 10 followers, it can be a huge burden. But the good thing is that people like you can now communicate directly with people who love what you do.
In fact, that's one of the reasons I embraced social media at the levels at which I did. Because for me, it was a window into the worlds of the people that support what I do, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
People think they have access to you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, bitches, I've got access to you.
Right.
You know, I know what you're thinking. You know, I know what you love. I know what you're watching on TV. I know what you think of the show. I know that you're listening. You know what I mean? So for me, it's, I mean, I think social media or die. And it's, you know, it's part and parcel of what I do on TV, on radio, and then just generally people love the fact that you're accessible like that. 15 years ago, you know, following someone might get you in jail. Now we want people to follow us.
And it's also a well-known and well-established thing with you that you just are in love with music. I mean, your knowledge of music across all genres is impressive. You happen to be most famous for house music, but you know music that, I mean, I don't even know.
In fact, that's what one of the things that frustrated me when I was moving from YFM to 5FM. Mm. The first thing people said to me is, how are you going to tolerate the music? And I'm thinking, why would you put me in a box in the first place and think that all I'm able to listen to is so-called black music? Mm-hmm. I mean, primary school, I was a primary school with kids from about 40 countries.
Yeah.
I mean, I started DJing when I was 13 in high school. And our high school had kids from about 50 countries. So I was exposed to all music from about age 6, 7 already. So moving to 5 for me was actually going home.
Yeah.
You know? But people love thinking they know you and they want to put you in this box. This is what you are and this is all you're allowed to be. And it's for the same reason that more often than not, people don't grow themselves. If they're putting you in a box and you're such an open-minded thinker, what kind of box are they in?
Well, that's why they got that perspective, because they can only see out of one tiny hole that they've
cut out. And for me, that's a problem. That you know, these people look up to you.
Yes.
You want to blossom, grow, and do great things, but they want to drag you back into this little box. So how are you going to inspire them if you're not even allowed to inspire yourself?
I get the feeling you, like me, don't like being labeled anything.
I don't like being labeled. Don't think you know me. Not even my dad knows me like that. Yes, he raised me. Yes, my mother raised me. But not even they know me.
Yeah, you're very mysterious.
Flip, I don't even know myself.
DJ Fresh is with us this morning, but I think should we get Dali in here?
I think let's talk to this man. Yeah, we need someone
who, I'm very, very excited to speak
to. Who thinks larger than we do.
Advocate Dali Mpofu is coming in next, and I'm very, very excited to speak to him. And this morning you can call us to 0861-555-189.
Were you thinking about the 5FM number?
Well, Fresh is sitting right here.
I thought that's what happened.
All right, well, let me get into this. All right. Coming up next, Dali Mpofu. DJ Fresh is with us. You're on. You can call us. You can message us the screen on WeChat. You can also tweet us directly from the app. Tell me what you want.
CliffCentral.com.